had dialed doing anything my radio advised. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, cause it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the voice of reason, but they don't give you any choice, cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio. I wanna bite the hand that feeds me. I wanna bite that hand so badly. I wanna make them wish they'd never seen me. Some of my friends sit around every evening and they worry about the times ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. Either shut up or get cut out. They don't wanna hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the voice of reason, but they don't give you any choice, cause they think that it's true. So you had better do what you were told. You better listen to the radio. What if I'm radio?
KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. There's a distinct smell of Republican in this room.
Yeah,
waka chaka. Stop playing some porno music.
You know what? After that political show, it just smells like a nerd's bedroom in here. Doesn't it? It smells like cheese puffs, an overworked Nintendo, sweaty Converse boots.
Who are you calling a cheese puff?
Cheese puff, who's just been in here. Yeah. I don't understand any of that garbage he talks about. Yeah. I'm not a political person, I'm sorry.
It was a very one-sided conversation this morning, but there will be more Democratic stuff later.
Do you know what I did notice that you wouldn't have had after a musical show?
Well,
when all the politicians and the political people left, they took this great big box of donuts with them, and it was three quarters full.
Right.
Now, if I'd have been on, like, Steve Jones's radio show in LA, they leave the donuts for the next guy.
Well, that's because they're socialists.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, socialists. When it comes to donuts, anyway, you have to, you know, obviously, you have to pick and choose your issue.
I don't even know
when it comes to donuts, I'm very much a socialist myself.
You take them with you?
No, I share them out. Share out my donuts.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd eat them all.
There's certain other things, like, for example, I don't know, my apartment. That's not. I'm very much a Republican when it comes to the apartment.
Why? It's nice.
I'm not sharing it with anyone. No, it's...
No, you've had people round for dinner and things like that.
Once in a while, yeah, but I always expect some reciprocal dinner later on.
You do?
I do, yeah. How are you, Martin? You back?
I'm doing good, yeah. Yourselves?
Yeah, we've been doing all right. We've struggled on while you've been gone.
Good.
Since you've been gone, to coin a phrase, where have you been?
I've been away. I was in England, and then I came back for a week, and then... My missus had a surgery on her knee.
I know. We actually mentioned it last week.
Thank you.
We sent love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we said we were praying for you.
Thank you.
We didn't actually pray for you.
Well, your prayers worked. God is good.
How's
God
Kate feeling?
Thank God.
Is she feeling good?
Yeah.
Good.
She's feeling God.
She's
feeling God. That's a good thing to do on a Sunday morning. It's KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Jason Fetty. Martin Cohen's here. And also Daniel Barnes.
Thank you.
Our special guest.
Thank you.
And do you know, remember those shows in the 70s where they always put special guest, whatever, and they were on every week?
Right.
Same person.
Do you know what's so funny?
What? Does that mean they got paid more?
I probably did, yeah.
Somebody took a picture of me, like...
Special billing, that's what that is.
3 years ago, I was in, I think it was Cincinnati, and someone took this really cool picture of me, this black and white one. You know, and I used to have long hair, and I got all the... And all they put on the thing underneath in this really nice font was, a special guest.
Right, well, you are.
Thank you.
You are. You get special billing here, buddy.
Was that your mugshot when you got arrested?
Sort of.
Always top of the bill. Always the headliner.
Thank you.
Yep. It's Kirk's 93.5. It's Full English Breakfast. Here's some music for you, which we like to play in between talking rubbish on a Sunday morning. Good morning. Gone completely insane. You are aware of this, aren't you?
I saw that in the newspapers.
Did you see that? Yeah.
All of them.
World gone insane.
That's what it said on the Sheffield
Star.
It's
the headline for the... It's in April the 1st.
So Jerry Hall, let me get this right. Jerry Hall, who used to be married to Cliff Richard. No, the other one.
Murdoch.
The other one.
Michael Jagger.
Michael Jagger, Mick Jagger, and is now dating very strongly.
No.
What?
Back up a little bit.
Okay.
Now is married to
Rupert Murdoch. No.
Yes.
Really.
I'm telling you now.
Well, you know what? You've got to sleep with the money and put him in the bank.
Facebook worthy. But that's not the controversy.
Put him in the sperm bank so nobody can get hold of any of that stuff.
Nobody. It's already done.
Yeah.
He's got everyone.
Got children and all that.
Full everywhere.
Yeah. But it's so weird. They look like a pair of like old roosters.
I'm guessing they're going to be happy because they've just got unspendable wealth. I mean, Rupert Murdoch's worth $8 billion quadrillion dollars and pounds and Australian monies.
But does it make you happy?
Yeah.
Daniel, money, does it? Money.
Really does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you know?
I had a bit once.
But he's miserable and he's got no money.
Listen, I had money, I blew it all, and I was miserable.
You didn't know his kind of money, though. That is some money.
No, I didn't have Rupert Murdoch's money. And neither did I have Jerry Hall's money either.
That's the money.
Social Security?
Just above.
Do you think the mansion that they live in is called Jerry Hall? It would be, wouldn't it? We're going back to Jerry Hall.
I don't know, but I think the house that she had in Richmond's got a for sale sign outside it now because it was next door to Mick Jagger's. You remember they shared the mansions that were adjoined? They were like Georgian townhouses in Richmond. And they had a door put in so she could come through at any time. It was a trust thing. Did you not? Do you remember that?
No, I don't know.
Trust?
You know, like a... Trust. So they trusted each other. They never put a lock on this door. And apparently after a week, Jerry Hall had a lock installed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she's a very strange woman and... Murdoch, very strange man, very old.
Yeah. So what do you reckon they're going to do next?
I don't know, but I imagine a vagina's the size of a stately home.
Talking of stately homes, you ever heard of a place called West Heslerton?
West Heslerton?
In North Yorkshire?
No, I've been to East Heslerton.
Funny you should say that. There is
Hello. Oh,
sorry about that.
Sorry.
Funny you should say that. The next village across is actually called East Heslerton.
Right, and what's the one above it?
There isn't one.
But there's a middle.
There's a West Heslerton in North Yorkshire, and it comes with... a 21-bedroom historic hall.
Right.
42 houses.
Yeah.
A pub, a restaurant, a garage, a sports pavilion, playing fields, and more than 2,000 acres of countryside.
Now, this is on the market.
It's for sale. The whole village is for sale.
The woman
that owned it.
Why?
No, because the woman that owned it died about five
years
ago.
The whole village. She owned the village.
And the estate is up for sale.
What happened to the people that live in the
houses? No, they rent. No, they're...
Pepper pot
They're
rents.
Saying she was an amazing landlady or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
They kept her rents very, very low. And they're looking for a very kind owner, owner who will
be the same thing. A benevolent dictator, that's what they need,
now,
Daniel.
We should buy this place.
We should go find Rupert Murdoch, see if he'll lend us the money.
Now, have they got a price tag attached to it?
No, it doesn't say there's no price, but it does say it's the endearingly eccentric Oxford-educated spinster who owned the whole village, and thanks to affordable rents and some clever social engineering, she ensured that it was retained a vibrant community supporting a host of amenities.
Ooh.
Well, you know what? That's the way. That is the way forward for America.
Miss Dorney is the name.
Right. Well, you know, when Donald Trump's president, obviously, because he will be.
So, right.
Yeah, well, I'm voting
that's
for
what
him.
We. Yeah. That's what I think will. It's going to happen. That's what we need.
Regionalisation.
We need him to own everything.
That's true.
Right, and then just be, as I said, a benevolent dictator, someone who can look after us and make sure we're all, you know, comfy and our comb-overs are looked after.
I'm behind that.
You know who could do his comb-over?
Who?
The British Hair Company. Who should do his comb-over.
Yeah, they could.
They could get in there, get underneath it, you know, and give a proper old weave, because that's what he needs. It looks daft, that thing. I'm happy for him to be president of the United States. I just think he needs his hair sorting out.
He might as well have a skinhead. His mouth's already there.
Right. So, that's what we're doing this morning. It's Full English Breakfast on KX 93.5. And it's 9:19 in the morning. It's a lovely day in Laguna, a little overcast, but it's going to burn off, as they say.
It's very romantic this morning. A little mist, a little chill, a little warm.
It is lovely. Yeah. It's nice.
It's
going to
be a beautiful
back.
Baby. Can we ask people not to come into town because I need to drive around?
Right. You're thinking you want the place to be a little bit quieter this morning. Yeah.
That's not an unreasonable request.
Okay.
We're playing a lot of Elvis Costello this morning. In fact, almost exclusively. And I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes' time on Full English Breakfast.
Right.
KX 93.5.
Just now we heard three songs in a row from the existentialist Claws. Now it's time for an update on the latest crisis with the Trinidad and Tobago moon landing. And then we'll be back with a full album side from the spare, defiantly upbeat Hans Molman Jr.
Because you don't want your radio quite that public. This is Human Crafted Radio on KX 93.5.
Accidents will happen, we're all
Elvis Costello there, and Accidents Will Happen, pretty early stuff from 1979. Armed Forces, that's the album I remember mostly, because I sort of lost touch with him really a little bit.
He's timeless.
He is timeless, but a sort of local legend really when it comes to Britain.
Elvis.
National treasure, Elvis Costello. Yeah, become quite a thing when you...
I always thought he was American.
Really?
Yeah, because he's always on TV.
Nah, he's from Liverpool, mate. Declan McManus.
That's right. He's an Irish lad.
Yeah.
Declan.
Yeah. Now, his father was a musician too. He's a trumpet player. This is what I know.
Right. What do you know?
That his father was a trumpet player and was a musician himself.
Right.
And that Elvis changed his name to Elvis Costello because of some guy in some record company who said he should change his name and keep his father's middle name, or his something like that, his mother's maiden name, Costello, and change his name to Elvis, as in Elvis Presley, and then also get the Buddy Holly glasses. So he's got Buddy Holly's glasses and Elvis Presley's name. So nobody took him really that seriously at first, but he's become quite the dude. He's done an album with Burt Bacharach. And like, anyway, I'm going to see him tonight at the Ace Hotel in Los Angeles. Sounds fancy, doesn't it?
It does, at the Ace.
Yeah, they've got a restaurant.
Burt Bacharach, you're Elvis.
Elvis Costello. They've got a restaurant next door and you can go and that. But the thing about it is that I'm going to go backstage and we're going to meet this other, the warm-up band, the supporting act. It's called Larkin Poe, and they're also his band, his backing band. So that's interesting, isn't it? We've been playing their records. Play one of those things in a minute. But here's the most important thing you need to know about Elvis Costello.
Right.
His first gig, his first proper gig, was with his dad. His dad got him the gig, right? And it was this tune. Let me play this tune for you, because I'm sure you'll remember it to me. I'll turn this one down. All right, listen to this. Listen to this.
I'm a secret lemonade drinker.
Oh, right?
Oh, wait. I'm trying to keep it on.
That's his dad singing.
Oh, wait.
Right? Everybody knows it.
Oh, wait.
Lemonade drinker.
That's Elvis Costello
doing backing vocals. Yeah, it's his dad singing.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. It's Our White's Lemonade. That's the name of the product.
Is that Ray Weston in that commercial?
No, it looks like Ray Weston, but do you know who it really is? It's...
Oh, did you see who that was?
You see who that was? Ronnie Corbett.
I totally forgot.
And Ronnie died this week.
He did.
Very sad. Ooh, he's very small, wasn't he? Little fella. In the end, it was just untenable, the smallness of him.
It was only 5 foot, which isn't that small.
Really? You just look so small on TV.
5 foot small.
Under 5 foot, you're a midget. 5 foot, you're still...
He's not a midget then. He was still a human being.
He was a normal size, slightly smaller. Vertically challenged.
He was vertically challenged, little fella. But that was part of his charm, and it was part of his fame, was that he was, small. That was his thing. He used to go on about it all the time.
Well, he did lots of things, but he only really made it big when him and the other...
Never made it big, Martin.
No, but he made it big in TV.
He never made it big. He was always a little fella.
He had, you know what, though? He had quite a strong posse around him. I mean, he always travelled with a bit of power. If you ever watched him on Pro Celebrity Golf with Peter Alice.
No, I never saw.
Right. Well, he'd always team up with Bruce Forsyth or Jimmy Tarbuck. So he always had a bit of backing, you know.
He surrounded himself with size.
If you're playing golf, that's who you want to play with, Jimmy and Bruce.
Exactly. But he used his comedy as like his protection.
Well, it's good night from him, as they say.
Yes, and it's good night from him.
That was his catchphrase.
Both of them are gone.
Yeah, Barker's gone. Ronnie Barker. He was a quiet man.
He was in real life. He was the funny one of the two.
He was.
He was a genius, actually. He was the one who came up with it all.
Mm. Yeah. He was quite a very quietly spoken man, very thoughtful man, very quite depressed, I think.
He was a manic depressive, and he used to like spending a lot of time in Bridlington.
Well, we know a lot about them, don't we?
Who didn't like spending a lot of time in Bridlington?
People from Bridlington, generally, I would think.
So even they love it.
A funny accent in Bridlington. Do you ever
hear
that?
It's the Sausalito of England.
It kind of is. He's kind of right. It's a very odd accent. It's a very strange...
It is, but it's becoming a cosmopolitan...
Hold the lake from Bridlington Lake, because they're not really Scousers. I'll tell you a joke about a person from Bridlington.
Now, don't get it confused with Blackpool, which I did for years.
No. Blackpool's on the other side of the country, completely different.
Thank you.
Completely different. So, a woman from Bridlington takes a cat to the vet. She says, "How veterinary?" Because they say "How" there instead of "Hello." "How veterinary?"
Yeah.
She says, "I'd like to neuter this cat."
"I
would like you to neuter this cat."
I'm getting with it now. It's the Black Country accent.
It's more northeast. So the vet says, "Is it a Tom?" She says, "No, it's in this box here."
Brilliant. Brilliant. I like that. No, that's a really good play on language.
But it's very, very, is it a Tom? Tom is like the way they would say, "Is it at home?"
It's like that guy who walks into the Indian restaurant and he says, Do you deliver? And he goes, "No, but we do chicken, beef, and it's a bit like, pork.
Do you deliver?
Yeah,
that's very Yorkshire joke.
That was Peter Kay.
It's a very Yorkshire joke.
I walked into this Indian, I says, "Do you deliver?" They says, "No, we do chicken, beef and pork."
You've told it twice now, that joke.
I know, that's the element of Northern comedy. You tell
you
a joke twice.
Is it a bit like Schrodinger's cat? It's either at home or at the vets at the same time.
No, but you know, I don't think you were here when I told my Schrodinger's cat joke. Were you here?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay, so the thing about Elvis Costello is he's playing tonight at the Ace Hotel.
Right.
And I've got tickets, that's very nice.
Nice.
And going up there with my friends, the Waldmans and the wife. And opening for Elvis Costello is Larkin Poe. I'm going to play a Larkin Poe track now, and everything will be perfect and lovely and smooth and round. And
it'll be a beautiful night.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I'm definitely going to interview Larkin Poe, two gorgeous sisters.
Get them, mate.
And hopefully we'll manage to find a way to bump into Elvis Costello at the same time. We shall see. It's KX93.5.
I know you and you can live without me. But when we come together, I know we're better. Can find your own way, but when we find it together, I know it's better. Every time we fight in a hotel room, stubborn love keeps pulling us on through. There's so many ways that I could say I love you. I don't want to. So many ways that I could say I need you. You, I don't have to. I've been all around. You've been all around. Tell me, have you found any better than our stubborn love? As far as I can see, we're two for one deal. I guess you're sticking around, no matter how I feel. We're always gonna be a two for one deal. Every time we fight in a hotel room, stubborn love keeps pulling us on through. So many ways that I could say I love you, you, I don't want to. So many ways that I could say I need you, you, I don't have to.
lovely. Lovely ladies, that's what they are. Larkin Poe. They're from Seattle, I'm going to say. I'm probably lying. I don't think they are. I think they're from Georgia.
They sound like they could be from Seattle.
They're not, though. They're from Georgia. So I think they're from Augusta, Georgia, I'm guessing now.
Pretty close to the...
Either Seattle or Augusta, Georgia, yeah.
Very either R.E.M. or grungy. They're not grungy. They're more R.E.M.-y.
Very poppy. It's a poppy group. But I'm excited to meet them. I'm fun to go backstage. We've got 10 minutes. According to the tour management team, whatever they are, I have to call this number.
Right.
It's very cloak and dagger.
Yeah.
I've got to get... When I get to the gig, we're going to go eat at this. But we've got reservations for 5:30 or something.
Did they tell you what you've got to eat?
No.
If you're going to meet the band, you can't eat garlic.
Right, yeah.
No, that happens.
Yeah, I know. But they didn't say anything like that. They don't know I'm eating first. So they might just throw me out.
Yeah, don't ever cake yourself in patchouli oil when you go and meet these people.
No. I'm going to try and be smelling as sort of...
Neutral
as possible, yeah. Go and see them. They're going to go at 6:50.
Take
I've got
flowers.
To call a number at 6:50.
No, that's
and
right.
Then somebody will answer that phone number.
Is it a 323?
I can't remember. And then they're going to take me to some space.
Right.
Unspecified area.
Pat you down.
Of the building, excuse me. And then I'm going to get to talk to them for 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
That's all right.
Right. Which is enough, actually. You know, what are you going to say? You're brand new. You've made one EP.
But you know the irony is, don't you?
What?
You go through all this nonsense to meet these people that no one's really heard of.
Right.
And on the way out, you'll bump into Elvis Costello and you'll end up sitting with him at the Rainbow for like 3 hours talking about everything.
I would love that. Love to
That's going
to
happen.
Him.
Tonight, you're going to have one of those experiences.
I'd love to meet him, I'm excited. On a normal day, if it was like just like a Wednesday,
right,
and it was Daily Scramble Live in the morning, and Larkin Poe were coming, I'd be like, brilliant, I'd be stoked, I'd be really excited about it.
Brilliant!
Are they aware that you're not that interested in meeting
them? No, I am interested in meeting them, but Elvis Costello's going to be somewhere in the building. You know, I'm like, well, actually, I'm a man of a certain age, aren't I?
Do you know how you find Elvis Costello in the Ace Hotel?
How?
Look for the most intellectual,
yeah,
cosmopolitan, and poignant corner of that building. It might be some place that's got a really nice library or something, but the most intelligent...
The wanker of the week, is he?
Yeah, but no, that's how you find Elvis Costello.
Right, right. It's very funny. Let's go down that channel.
You'll be there, like, teasing the New York Times crossword.
You're looking for an intellectual corner. It's a good point.
You know what, Martin? I can't take that crown. I had it last week.
You're looking for like a library, somewhere with leather chairs, aren't you?
The smell of tanned leather.
Yeah, and pipe smoke.
That's
aren't
it.
You? Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
And then
you'll find him there, and he'll be giving a speech of some kind. He'll be talking. He'll be. What do they call that when you sit with a load of
holding
people?
Holding court.
Holding court. Thank you. And he'll be talking about some philosophical thing, possibly connecting the Greek philosophers to, I don't know, modern politics in Zimbabwe or somewhere.
Or his long relationship with Bob Geldof.
What if he's simply pissed off that he can't find the M&Ms in the minibar?
Right.
What
if
he's
just an ordinary bloke?
Or you find him plastered at the stage door with a bag of M&Ms.
Be nice if he's just an ordinary bloke, won't it?
Excuse me,
where's the toilet?
I've been looking for your life.
I'm dying to go.
Can I come and stay at your place in Laguna?
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. Where's Larkin Poe? We need to do a rehearsal.
Come on, take us down Sunset. I want to go for a right good drink.
I wonder how long it took him to hit on Larkin Poe, because there's a couple of cute young girls. I think he's like... Hey,
I don't think he needs to.
You can be my backing band, and I think you know what I mean when I say backing band.
Right. How do you think his wife felt about that? Do you think
Dinah
there's a little jealousy?
Dinah Crawl. You've seen Dinah Crawl, haven't you?
Twice.
Right.
Once at the Plush Room and once at the Starlight Room, Harry Denton's Starlight Room in San Francisco. She played twice, unaccompanied, on a piano. And I think on the second one, at the Starlight Room, Elvis Costello was there, but he didn't play. He just popped in to have an intelligent moment in a smoky leather corner.
Right.
And then left.
In a tweed suit with leather patches on his
Is that cool? He didn't even stay around to watch his wife play.
Right.
He just left like after 5 minutes.
He just wandered in with a book by Nabokov under his arm.
Just shook his head, looked at her and left.
It's because jazz is the devil's music, obviously.
She's good though. I think she played at Yoshi's as well that weekend in
really
London
good.
Square.
When you go and see Dinah Crawl play, how many people are at a Dinah Crawl gig?
Whatever the venue holds, it will sell out. And she plays places that are, for what she is, solo artist, It's very viable. She makes a lot of good money on it.
No, I'm not worried about the money. She's married to Elvis Costello. I think she's fine. I think she's all right for a few quid.
But let's say she has a 200-seat venue, 500-seat, whatever. That she'll sell out easy.
That's a lot of seats for a jazz gig, isn't it?
These, right. You know. I mean, Yoshi's on the Fillmore in San Francisco. That's huge.
I've been to Steamers in Fulham when there's been two people sat there. One of them was sort of...
a security guard.
Drunk hobo that wandered in.
And the other was the bartender.
Yeah.
Those are good gigs, man.
They can be.
They can be. It can be a great rehearsal.
They can not be.
Well, you're very open, aren't you? You're very vulnerable. Things can hit you from any side.
Yeah, and it's very jazzy. It's a lot of people playing this, you know, different tunes all at the same time. It's a bit odd, really, jazz, I think.
I wonder if...
funny world.
I wonder if Steve Jones will go to see Elvis Costello tonight.
Steve Jones.
What's with you and Steve Jones?
You know what?
That's the second time you've
Yeah, I know, because I've been listening to him recently, and every time I listen to him, he sounds really down. So I want to, like, I want him to cheer up. I'm going to go on a campaign to cheer up Steve Jones.
You were talking about him last night at the gig, weren't you? He sounds depressed. I don't think he is depressed. I think he's just miserable. That's different, isn't it? There's no drug. You can't take a drug for miserable. Look at Martin.
Exactly. No, you can.
Maybe you're reading too much into it.
You know what? In light of things that happen these days with celebrities, I'm just a little worried about Steve Jones.
We're on the radio. We have to talk for an hour. Our entire job is to read too much into things. That's the whole point of this show.
He said something about Daryl's marriage, or he said, why are you commenting on that? And I'm thinking, that's what you'd like me to do, right?
Well, all right, we can all just shut up then if you want.
No way.
Just have a minute.
No way.
Bit of dead air.
None.
No. All right, let's play this and then that, and then we'll be back in a mo.
Napoleon. Are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Just to say it. Oh, I know she's disgusted.
Oh, why's that?
Cause she's feeling so amused.
Oh, that's too bad.
She gets tired of the lust.
Oh, I'm so sad.
That it's so hard to refuse. Can you say that I'm too old when the angels have stolen my red shoes? Oh, I said I'm so happy I could die. She said, left with another guy. That's what you get if you go chasing after vengeance. Ever since you got me pumped, she does this bend my center. So I used to be disgusted when I try to be amused. Since the wings have got rusted, you know the angels wanna wear my red shoes. But when they told me about the side of the bargain, that's when I
red shoes.
Red shoes.
Yep, we're on KX93.5. That's where we're on. We're singing along to Elvis Costello. The angels want to wear my red shoes. And unfortunately, it says that that song is from The Best of Elvis Costello. So I don't know where it's actually from. That's a terrible thing to write on the thing, isn't it? The Best of. That's no information for anybody, is it, really?
That basically describes 50 albums by the Eagles.
Yeah, right. Oh, the Eagles. I can't stand the Eagles.
No, I can't. And do you know what? They got me again last week. You know that song? One of those nights.
Oh, no.
It's awful, but brilliant.
Is it?
You know how we were talking about songs that you get in your head that you won't get out of?
It's an earworm.
The earworm song for the day is the Eagles. One of these nights.
Oh, I won't be able to stop thinking about that now. It's so annoying to me. Honestly, bloody Eagles.
I know.
I could have lived without them, I'll tell you that.
I can understand that scene in The Big Lebowski when he says to her, The Big Lebowski gets in the car and it's the cab driver and he's like, I love the Eagles!
Do you know, we've been auditioning or interviewing new DJs for various volunteer shows.
Right.
Got some really great applicants, really good around here. And one of these guys sent a playlist of songs.
Oh, no.
It was really great. No, it was fantastic. Sort of Americana, but really cool, Austin-centric. Like
City Limits.
Sunvol, Wilco, Uncle Tupelo, that kind of stuff. And then halfway down the list, there's a song by the Eagles, and I almost went, whoa. No!
Gone.
No!
But
it just about. So, you know, I can tolerate 3.5 minutes of the Eagles if he's going to play all this cool stuff around it. I suppose it's all right. And I know that people like the Eagles. I just think they suck. What are you going to do?
So he's got the job?
I don't know yet. We're going to discuss it.
How tall is he?
He's quite a tall man, actually.
Good radio height?
Good height for radio, right. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Mark? What have you got?
Spider.
What was Spider?
Gary Shale.
Yeah, Gary Shale was Spider, that's
Spider.
Right.
Gary Shale was an actor in Quadrophenia, played the part of Spider.
Do you know where I first saw him?
What's this apropos of what?
Well, because he was saying he likes the show. He follows the show.
Hello, Gary, if you're listening.
Gary Shale.
Yeah, we're big fans.
The one that I remember in him.
Who what?
Johnny Jarvis.
Who's Johnny Jarvis?
Do you remember that show,
no.
Johnny Jarvis?
No.
BBC?
No.
Oh, it was very good.
No.
Google Johnny Jarvis.
I don't remember anything about anything. Honestly, I really don't remember. They make fun of me around here by like making up names and going, do you remember when we interviewed blah, blah, blah?
And you're like,
I'll go, yeah, because I'm embarrassed.
Right.
And they'll just keep it going all day and then I'm just,
but if they test you, they'll soon find that you didn't remember.
I really didn't remember anything. Just make it up as I go along. It's embarrassing.
It's all right.
It's because I'm old. It's because I'm not really that interested in anything. That's the problem.
Little jaded.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Cynical. Okay, Martin, any new stories?
We do, yeah. There's something here about England being dirty.
No.
England being dirty?
Can't be. It's always washed.
Surprising dirty little secrets.
Oh, God.
That people do.
All right.
We'll start off at number 10.
Yeah.
Kiss.
Let's just turn this music up a bit if we're going to talk about dirty England.
Cleaning the house in the nude. Is very popular apparently in England. According to this site.
I would never do that.
I wouldn't. That radiator heat dries your skin.
I'm scared of what might get caught in the old, vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, that and the bleach.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Yeah.
Buying new clothes to avoid ironing old ones?
Rarely done that.
I've never done it.
Rarely.
Joe Cocker used to do that.
I've done that in order to, if I'm on the way to somewhere and I've gone, oh no, I've got a shirt.
Then you go and buy a shirt.
Or just quit.
Buying new clothes. No, we've done that one. Hiding mess away in cupboards rather than cleaning up.
Putting mess in cupboards rather than cleaning up. Yeah. Well, everyone's got a glory hole, Martin, haven't they? I know Jerry Hall's is rather large. I've heard of that. But everyone's got a glory hole, a glory box, some drawer which is full of crap that should really be thrown out, but you can't. Sometimes Ava will say, these clothes on this chair, are they clean or dirty? And I have a word that I use. I say, they're clerty. Yeah.
Ah. I don't know. Go to the glory hole.
They're both clean and dirty.
In your bed. Because I don't know if they're dirty or clean. I don't know if I'm going to wear them again or not. I don't know. And it might be 3 days on the chair before they go in the linen basket. I don't know.
Never washing hands before eating. That's horrible.
I've certainly washed my hands before. You must wash your hands when you've been for a poo. Very important.
Yeah.
But you know how to wash your hands? It's very important.
Get under the nails first.
No.
Soap and water, I don't know.
Yeah, I know, but do you put your soap on the hands and then straight under the water?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Now, soap up, lather your hands for a good, 15, 30 seconds.
And don't be afraid to go...
The entire hand.
Right.
And a little bit further
get
off.
Get up, go up your wrist if you don't mind.
Then under the water. Right. Because just by soaping and water doesn't do anything.
Right. Start under your nails as well. Nails protruding up towards the water.
I love my nail brush, use it all the time.
Oh, don't you?
So, but that you must, you know that 50% of poo is bacteria. 50%.
Which is why it's not good on toast. Come on! What's number seven?
Go on.
No, we've done that. Number five. Following the 5 second rule by eating food that's fallen on the floor.
Yeah, 5 second rule. We have a 5.5 hour rule in our house. We have a 2 day rule.
If it's been on the floor for 2.5 days,
the dog will eat it after a week and a half. Not bothered.
Right. The next one is leaving the bed sheets for more than 6 months before washing them.
Oh no. No, I would, but the wife washes them all the time.
That's good. It's good karma.
Last night, is this chocolate or blood? That's what I got last night. Is it chocolate or blood?
How did you sleep after that?
I said, you know what? I'm busy. I was working on my computer. You know what? I'm going to the other room. I can't do with this.
I'm bleeding chocolate. I'm working that hard.
Honestly, it's a bit of chocolate on the sheet. So what?
You don't eat chocolate.
I do it. I eat diabetic chocolate. I eat sugar-free chocolate.
So
I do.
It was chocolate. Safe to say.
Right. Yeah, same stuff, isn't it?
Noticing lipstick on a clean wine glass and wiping it off with a finger.
Oh God! I don't drink, so I don't know about that. I would never bother about that. I'm not bothered
number
about a bit of lipstick.
Number two is using a hairdryer to dust.
What?
Yeah, I've seen that. Stupid. You can do it.
Stupid.
You
what
can do it.
What a great idea.
Isn't it?
It's a great idea.
Especially one of those hairdresser ones, the industrial ones that you could get at the British Hair Company.
Big diffuser on the end of it. You get the entire room.
But that's just like the Mexicans with those blowers.
But you know what happens?
The leaf blowers.
The gardeners, the leaf blowers. The same theory.
Once you start using a hairdryer to clean, then you start using a hairdryer to iron your clothes and dust down and everything. I've seen this.
Well, you know what? If it's a labour-saving thing, I'm into it.
If it works.
Yeah.
Number one.
Go on.
Running out of clean underwear and going commando.
I don't go commando. I leave the dirty underwear on.
I just throw it under the tap.
I can wear a pair of underwear for 2 days, no problem at all, if that's what I have to do.
You know, I never understand this with people.
Go on.
Say if you're travelling and you've got underwear on and you've not got clean underwear for the next day, let's say you're staying somewhere. Rule of the road, first thing you do, your underwear. No, or if there's nowhere to buy it, wash your underwear in boiling water, snap it and leave it on the thing to dry overnight.
On the thing?
Yeah, on the clothes horse or the back of a chair or something. But anyone who wouldn't think to do that, that's where the questions begin.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Right.
Thank you, Daniel.
You're getting a little bit passionate about that.
No, my granddad, he was always right on with these things.
Clean underwear.
Starting the corners.
Yeah. All right, well, it's KX93.5. Here's a little thing and a thing, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about another news story. You got a good one to go along.
Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire!
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
But if it's you that she's thinking of, I think my broken heart might
Around the world, you're with KX 93.5. It's Laguna's only FM, human crafted radio from the corner of Pearl Street and Pacific Coast Highway in Laguna Beach, California. Nice that. I like the fact that we're doing, you know, what's his face, Elvis Costello, all morning long. Well, for an hour, anyway.
Ah!
What's up?
Hey! Handcrafted radio.
I'm getting messages from the KX 93.5. Department of Science and Sensibleness.
Oh, what have we done now?
That's all right. It's from Dr. Joe Ferguson. He's listening in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
How is he?
He's very well. He's been skiing and he's still alive because he sent me a text message this morning all about the thing about the poo and everything, the bacteria.
Right. Well, this is a doctor's thing, so...
Well, he's a scientific geezer.
Right.
So it turns out the human body is... more made up of bacteria by a factor of 10 to 1.
Yeah.
So more bacteria cells in your body, alien cells, cells that are not actually you, by a factor of 10 to 1. And then if you can take away, like, the water, which is 50%, and then if you take away spinal fluid and, you know, urine, which is different sort of stuff, then there's not much of you at all. You don't really exist.
No.
Actually.
Talking of poo.
Yeah.
There's a 32-year-old here called Paul Silver. Who's on a quest.
Yeah. Poo name.
He's a Crohn's sufferer due to have his colon removed.
Oh, dear.
And he's appealing... So I understand the problem here.
What?
And he's appealing for help to find the most impressive loo for his final poo-poo.
Oh. He wants a good loo.
Yeah.
The best toilet in the world.
Best toilet in where he's in England, so it's going to be...
Dorchester.
It's going to be in London. He's got 3 weeks to use the facilities, as it were, before
they should
he...
Let him to go. They should let him go in the House of Parliament, shouldn't they?
Or the presidential suite.
Well, they're saying here...
No, you know what they should do? They should let him go in the outhouses of Parliament.
See
what I did there?
Yeah, I did. He wants to go in the Shard, but I think that'd be a little bit painful.
Shard?
Harrods, yeah. House of Parliament, on the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, Royal Albert Hall will be all right. They should let him do one on the stage, shouldn't they? Why not?
Just Trafalgar Square in the middle.
Why doesn't he just do it off the top of Big Ben? Have a little platform made and just, there you go, London. Thank you. That's the one, isn't it? Yeah. On the strike of 12. Yeah. Boom.
That's right.
And then after that, he's going to have no colon, and he's going to have a colostomy bag.
Well, just think about the money he's going to save.
I know.
On what?
Toilet paper.
Yeah. I don't know. We should make funny with it, because it's not nice, that, is it?
Oh, No. I was going to say on hand soap. You don't have to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom.
Believe me, you do.
You do. You just a good idea just to keep
you
that
still
going
have to wash
anyway.
Because there's a bit of spillage on that comes out of the top of it. And
I've been there, done that, and it's
Martin's had a colostomy bag.
It's not, you know, something. It's not a nothing taboo thing.
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
And I'll say this on the air, Jason Sfetti has had his hands in my stoma.
I cleaned the wound.
There's a song there.
Yeah, good
I
man.
I cleaned the wound. And the wound cleaned me.
Sounds like a Jack Jones song, Cleaning the Wound.
You know what? This stuff happens to people, doesn't it? You shouldn't keep this stuff to yourself.
No, not really.
Share it.
Let the world know that you're not alone.
If you're somebody
sitting there with a colostomy bag thinking, how am I ever going to get a girlfriend?
Right.
Well, Martin Cohen.
I used to have a colostomy bag.
And now he's got a wife. He's married.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you might be sat there in this all kind of silence, a bit, you know, feeling a bit embarrassed and what have you. And it could be like really... like pumped up and like
no
big.
It's great, think about it, you can drive to Vegas without having to stop to go to the bathroom.
You can drive
there's
to
a lot of
Canada.
Positive things about it.
Colostomy, colostomy, you colostomy love. We could write a song about this. There's
you colostomy love,
yeah, the colostomy of love,
the greatest colostomy hits of all time.
We definitely should write a song for the colostomy bag organization
community
of America. There must be one.
Yeah,
I really think so.
I bet they have RVs.
Papa's got a new colostomy bag. That's an old one, isn't it?
Yeah.
An old song.
Yeah. It's good, though. We can work on it.
It's time, Sammy. Do two things at once.
Well, we've run out of time.
Isn't that funny? You know, I've got a question for you. Let's say if you worked as a confectionery baker, a confectionery cake maker,
yeah,
and you wore a colostomy bag, and you know, you got a big wedding on the next day, and you
I know where this is going.
Where am I going with this?
Chocolate croissants.
You're going with the old
piping bag. You can't find your piping bag. I've never seen one. Could you use one as a piping bag?
No, the hole's too big.
Yeah,
the hole's too big.
There's no way you could like tiddle around with it.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you could put tape around the bottom hole and like squeeze it out a little bit.
Is there anything else that you can use one for that's like got real big humor value? Like you can put it on your head like a condom, or you can like snap somebody from behind with one.
There's no comedy value in a colostomy bag whatsoever, other than what we're doing now.
Survival value? Can you fill it with water?
If you got a whole load of them together, fill them with helium.
Right.
You might be able to get a rise.
But you couldn't do something like make a survival suit out of them.
No.
All right. I just wanted to know. You said talk about it.
You couldn't, like, put your soup in it for lunch.
No.
Like, take soup to lunch and just drink it out of the nozzle.
Not unless you run around the back real fast.
Mm. Anyway, it's been really great talking to you guys, and I've learned a lot this morning.
Me too.
It's been wonderful.
Hasn't it just?
It's Cakes 93.5. It's Full English Breakfast. And we're here every Sunday, and we talk about all the things that you want to know about. I'm off to see Elvis Costello and interview Larkin Poe.
That's what I was going to say.
Excited. Larkin Poe.
Here's Larkin Poe.
Poo.
With Trouble in Mind, and I'll see you on Daily Scramble Live tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock with Tyler Russell, blah, blah, blah. All right, good. Steve's up next. Have fun.
Bye.
Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire!
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949 497 8345.
God save the Queen!